do this on Valentine's Day yesterday.
Yep.
But we didn't.
No.
I'm not sure why exactly, but we did not. Maybe it was because I was distracted by the wonderful Valentine's gift that you gave me.
Aww.
You sweet thing.
I am so glad that you enjoyed it.
It was a multi-day process.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. Let me tell you that she completely remodeled the bathroom. Well,
I did not.
That might be a bit of an exaggeration, but we had been doing some construction in there. So there was some leftover construction debris. This is in the bathroom off of our main bedroom, the master bath. And you went in there very stealthily.
Stealthy, yeah.
And completely cleaned the bathroom, scrubbed out this garden tub that we have in there. You put candles in there. You bought me a Civil War book,
mm-hmm.
which is really romantic.
I know how much you love war.
I do love, well, the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Not the war, just the time.
Sure.
And the history. You even went as far as to take Hershey's Kisses and tape them to long pieces of string and then hung them from the ceiling above the tub.
Yeah, picture like a like a high school prom with paper stars hanging from the ceiling.
That's the vibe.
But instead, it was Hershey's Kisses.
And you did that the day before. And then you showed me, you know, this was like on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
you showed me what you had done because obviously I would go into the bathroom at some point
right.
and probably see it. And I thought, oh, this is great. You're so sweet. You know, you bought me a vibrating heating pad.
And it's weighted.
Yes. She just created this whole spa atmosphere.
I know that you're a little jacked up about the idea of actually going to the spa, and so you don't want someone else, you know, breathing on the back of your head.
No.
So I thought maybe if I could bring some sort of spa experience to you, then it would be nice for you to relax. And I got you like a melatonin patch for the sleep times and a bath bomb.
Bath bomb. Yeah, the bath bomb. And you said, look, I did all this for you, and do you want to take advantage of this tonight? And I said, no, I would rather wait and do it on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just take a nice, hot, soaky bath.
Yeah.
It'll be great. So we go to bed, and we're drifting off to sleep, and we hear this pop. Like, what the hell was that? I don't know. Maybe it was kind of cold out. Maybe it's the deck.
Settling
because of the cold. And I'm started to drift off again. It's like, pop, pop, pop. I'm like, what the hell is this? So we go into the bathroom and snap the light on, and all of Hershey's Kisses are dropping from the ceiling.
It was like acorns dropping on a barn roof or something.
Yeah,
instead. So we'd listen to that throughout the night.
It was very, very soothing once I understood what it was. Our bathtub was being strafed with Hershey's Kisses.
Well, you've always loved that song about the rain falling angrily on the tin roof.
Oh, who doesn't love Edwin McCain?
Right.
I don't think anybody's going to argue that point.
So it's the same sentiment, only it's Hershey's Kisses falling into the jet tub.
Yeah, into the jet tub. My cat's always doing stuff like that. You know, she's very creative in her gifting ideas. I had been talking about how I loved making blanket forts.
Mm.
When I was a kid, and for my birthday, she made me a blanket fort. She put the TV inside the blanket fort because, well, if an activity doesn't involve TV, I'm not interested.
Right. It was, so we have a spare room. So I made the blanket fort in the spare room so I could do it without you knowing. And I borrowed someone's mattress. Because we didn't have a mattress for the spare room at that time.
Yes,
so
right. I forgot about
went
that.
And I picked up the mattress and I brought it here and I got it in the house by myself. And, and then I taped and tacked and in some cases stapled blankets up. So like half the room was the blanket fort. And then I made big signs that said
blanket fort.
Blanket fort.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. And we watched Casablanca in the blanket fort.
We did. I made you pancakes. And or was it French toast?
French toast.
It was French toast.
Yes.
That's right, because I don't like French toast, so it was a special thing for your birthday.
And I named it the Casa Blanket Fort.
That's right. Oh, that was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Hope you guys had a good Valentine's Day. You're asking probably, well, Jethro, what did you get Kat? I got her a card.
Yeah, it was a really nice card.
I didn't know we were going to go all out like this.
Well, we normally don't. We're not super Valentine's Day people.
No. And I did have something in mind that I was going to get you. But after this display, this garish display of gift giving, now there's nothing I can do to even match that. So I'm not even going to try.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah.
If you can't be best, then there's no point in doing it.
Right.
That's what
especially in relationships.
Exactly.
I think it's important.
Right. It's very important. Yeah. It's relationship advice from Kat and Jethro.
Right. We've talked about starting another podcast dedicated solely to that. The blanket fort, though, wasn't the only time that I made you a fort.
Again, based on stories that I had told you about about my childhood, mm-hmm. I talked about how when I was a kid, for a couple of summers, the neighborhood kids, there was a group of two or three kids in the neighborhood that...
That's not the fort that I'm talking about. It's a different blanket fort.
I'm going to get to that one, too.
Okay. Because this wasn't a blanket fort.
No, it was a tent. but it was a fort. It wasn't a blanket fort, but it was kind of a... It was fort-like.
Okay.
And I told her that a couple of summers in a row, a bunch of us kids, when we were like 10, 11, 12 years old, on the night of the Major League All-Star game in July, we would camp out on the lawn and just listen to the All-Star game on the radio. And so she recreated that experience for me.
Yeah, it was part of our honeymoon experience because we didn't go on our honeymoon right after we got married. But... The All-Star game fell between our wedding and our honeymoon.
Right.
So I borrowed a tent and I bought us some sleeping bags because Lord knows we don't have sleeping bags. And I had to find like an old school radio, which good luck finding one of those.
Yeah.
And then I had to send you away so I could set up the tent in our front yard. And I brought out snacks. And I think we ended up spending a total of like 45 minutes out there before
way too hot.
Let's go inside.
Yeah. Okay, this is great. Well, the only radio you could find was one of those camping radios that wind up. And I just got tired of winding it up to listen to the ball game.
Sure.
But the other blanket fort that you made was when I was doing a food drive, and it was wicked cold.
Yeah.
And
Bob.
And you, I came home, and there was a blanket fort made in the kitchen next to the heater, so I could climb in there. And,
yeah.
Yeah. These are the things that great relationships are based upon.
Mostly fort-related.
Mostly involving blankets.
Yep.
And sticks.
Speaking of sticks and blankets, sometimes I make you gifts out of trash and tape.
Yes, that happened early on in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was actually quite lovely.
Thank you.
It hung in the bathroom for quite a while.
It's still hanging in our closet.
Is it in the closet now? Yeah. Garbage. It was sticks and tape. And I think it was like a piece of an old road map.
Yeah.
It was quite lovely.
It was two hearts that I had cut out of maps. And one was from my hometown and one was from your hometown, and then the two hearts are kind of like overlapping, so you know, your hometown.
Yeah, it was kind of like folk art.
Sorry. It was very upsetting. I apologize for all of this. Ugh, yuck.
I'm more of a Christmas guy. I tend to maybe overdo it a little bit at Christmas. I'm the master of, nope, that's the last gift.
Well, you started this thing maybe 5 years ago called Christmas Fridays.
Yeah.
And all of the people in my life have told me repeatedly, that's not normal. You're spoiled. And I'm like, I don't know why I talk to you anymore.
Sure.
You're a garbage person. every Friday during the period of time that we have our tree up, I get presents.
That just really develops because I'm really bad at buying presents and waiting to Christmas to give them to you.
Yeah.
We're both pretty horrible that way.
Pretty horrible, yeah. Yeah, we didn't open any presents this Christmas.
No, we ran out. Actually, I did pretty well. I was able to keep one last one for you.
That's true. That was surprising.
Yeah, because I kept saying, no, this is the last one, mm-hmm. and it wasn't. So, yeah. And I didn't I hide it under your pillow or something?
Yeah, because you're the bed maker.
It was a slow cooker. So and it was awkward.
It was a little noticeable under my pillow. JK, no, we don't, I don't know. It was a beautiful necklace and not a slow cooker.
No.
I just can't stop picturing like the unwrapped box of a slow cooker with just my pillow sitting on top of it.
Or better yet, the slow cooker unwrapped, plugged in, and making some beans.
Oh, like, see, that would be nice too.
Under your pillow.
I mean, if you were to make beans sometime, that would be good. I would be into that.
What are you saying? I don't make beans?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That'd be fair. You don't make beans.
I don't think I've ever made beans.
Except, I love beans.
Except the reheated kind out of a can.
I also like those.
Do you really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I've told you on multiple occasions, a can of refried beans saved my life one time.
That is true.
It is true.
This is before you and I were a thing, because I would never let my lady exist on a can of refried beans.
Refried beans alone. Yeah. So, y'all, I used to be poor. And I don't mean like, oh, we can't afford to go out all the time poor. I mean, like, I didn't have food poor.
Yeah.
I was figuring out, like, how I could live out of my car poor. And I was very fortunate that someone brought in a can of refried beans to work one day, and I snatched that thing and I brought it home. Mm-hmm. And I lived off a can of refried beans for 3 days because I didn't have any other food.
See, this is the first mistake you made was pursuing a career in radio broadcasting.
I know it. Don't think that people didn't tell me along the way it was a mistake.
Yeah.
But
it's a tough way to make a living.
But I was like, but I really want to make people listen to Corrosion of Conformity.
And then you ended up playing Toby Keith.
Well, I also played on other stations.
That's true.
So I was lucky to be on one of my favorite stations growing up. I ended up working on that radio station, and it was a full circle kind of event, and it was a wonderful experience.
That radio station that she's talking about is a legendary radio station here in Maine. It's like 100,000 watts FM, and the tower is on top of Sugarloaf Mountain.
Yeah.
So the signal is huge. You would get fan letters from Quebec.
Yeah. Yeah, our engineer is pretty badass, and I say is, like I still work there. I do not.
Yeah.
But our engineer would send us pictures from like the top of the tower, and you could see the curvature of the goddamn earth.
You could, yeah. It was up there. And in fact, there have been many times where he had to go up in like September, and there'd be snow everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So fortunately, you got to work at that radio station, and then you could afford several cans of fried beans.
Well, no, I mean, I had really bad priorities, too. I mean, I had a very strict budget, but my budget also included several hundred dollars in pet food per month, $70 Dunkin' Donuts allowance, and $55 for food.
Wait a minute. You had a $70 Dunkie allowance?
Yep.
And 55 for food.
Yeah, well.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your priorities were.
The thing was, whack. If I was going to keep working at that radio station, I needed the dunks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't judge me.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I used to be poor.
Yeah.
What was the point?
I don't know, but I can identify because, you know, I think I've mentioned this in previous episodes. When I first got into radio, I was really young, like 14.
Right.
And the only job I had before radio at that point was a paper route.
And that is still the only other job you've had.
Pretty much. So when I got my first job in radio at 14, I quit my paper route and took a pay cut to go work in radio.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not a joke.
No. Same with me. Yeah. I used to tend bar, and then I finished college and took a pay cut to get a professional radio job.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I make presents out of trash and tape. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good time.
When I was a young lass in the northern Maine, we had a camp. And it was a place where there was no town name because it was so rural. Mm-hmm. It was just known by its location,
town
like on the map
range,
or something.
Yeah, T6 like and R9.
TR40 or something like that. So it was way out there. And it was a dirt road, like 11 miles out to the pond. And one year it got really low, the water, and then there were a bunch of leeches. It was really gross. Anyway, so we were there for like 2 weeks once, and that's out there. And I was in middle school, and I was like bored. And so I made my dad a table. I thought it would be nice for him to have a little side table for next to his chair because he would sit in the same chair. I mean, most of the time that we were at camp, he was sitting in a chair. It was very strange. Mm-hmm. He just liked to sit in chairs in different locations. So,
well, he always had nice chairs.
He did have some nice chairs.
They always had like the flip-up arm rest where he kept his
snacks.
His snacks, his tasty.
Tabletop pies.
That's what it was, table talk pies.
Yeah. So I thought it would be nice for him to have a side table for his nice chair. And so I built him one, and we had like kindling for the hot fire maker.
Wood stove.
Wood stove. Mm-hmm. And so I made him a table out of kindling, and I was quite proud of it. I mean, I thought, hey, it stood up.
There you go.
It was relatively level. I mean, there were gaps and stuff. It wasn't like you could put change on it, but you could put a magazine on it, you know? And like the next time we went to visit, it wasn't there. And I was like, what? Where's the what? And he's like, yeah, my wife threw that away.
Oh.
It was garbage. It was garbage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, well, his wife didn't like me very much. So it was a good time. Okay.
I would like to be able to say there's a moral to that story, but...
No, the moral is just his wife didn't like me
very
much. There
you go. It's a sad tale, but not uncommon.
There was one time that we went to the grocery store. My dad went in, and the wife and I were sitting in the van waiting, and she would just wait for women to walk by, and she would point at them and go, "That girl's much skinnier than you are."
No! No.
There was one time she came home with groceries and she had bought fat-free cream cheese. And she was like, "I got you the fat-free." And I was like, "Oh, that's not usually what I get." And she was like, "Oh, I know." And I was like, "Okay, well, wow. I like the regular kind." And she was like, "Well, I just assumed you would be trying to lose weight."
Wow.
And I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, that feels good. It feels good."
Oh, my God. Now, was she a thin person?
Oh, no.
She just was a judgy person.
It was a fun time in my life.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, yeah.
I remember you telling me that at one point she bought you a gift. It was a pair of leggings and an oversized Tweety Bird shirt.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, that's thoughtful.
It's funny because it's a very similar outfit to what she would wear, and actually quite similar to something I would wear now.
No, well, so it's all. Do you still have it?
No,
that's too bad.
I returned it, and I rue the day. I rue the day. That was a weird time.
Mm.
So at their wedding, I just I was the best man, and so I. When it was my time to do the speech, I just stood up and I looked at my siblings lovingly. And then I looked at the crowd and I held up my glass and I said, "Let's hope three times is a charm, Okay. I was bitter and I was angry and I was a teenager. A lot of hormones going on.
That's the angst trifecta.
Right. Plus, I was malnourished. I mean,
yeah, you can't live on beans.
No, that was way before. I had access to plenty of food as a teenager, but I would eat a box of stovetop stuffing when I came home from school because at lunch I just had a whoopie pie and a Coke. I didn't have what you would call like a good food grouping kind of situation going on.
I once ate an entire can of Betty Crocker frosting.
Whoa.
Yeah, just with a plastic spoon. I just sat there and ate the whole thing.
That sounds like you needed to be medicated.
I did after I finished that can. That was a period in my life where I didn't have a lot of economic resources as well. I think I was maybe 17 and on my own for the first time. And I remember there being one night that, and this was in the dead of winter in northern Maine, and we had no heating oil.
Oh.
And we had like a pizza mix thing in the cupboard, my roommate and I.
Like one of those Betty Crocker pizza dough mix
kind of you things. Mix it up and then you put the cheese on it. You know. And so what we did was we had a gas stove and we had propane. So we turned the oven on and opened the door so we get some heat in there. And we made this pizza, and we really didn't want just cheese pizza. We wanted some toppings on it. So we put the only thing we had in the cupboard on the pizza, and that was a bottle of one-a-day vitamins.
Well, that was nutritious.
Oh, yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
That was chock full of vitamins and minerals.
Well, about a month's worth. Yeah. Then I peed like orange.
I'm sure.
For about 3 weeks.
Well, it's amazing what you do when you've got to figure it out.
Yeah, when you've got to figure it out.
Sometimes you don't have rolling papers, so you just use paint by number coloring book paper.
Sure.
And then
sure.
you get violently ill.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably not the best way to do it. But you do what you have to do to survive. I remember plenty of times when I was really young collecting bottles along the side of the road to get a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Nowadays, to collect enough bottles to buy a pack of cigarettes, you need like one of those, not real big ones, but one of those U-Haul trucks to carry the amount of bottles and cans you would need.
Yeah, well, in Maine, they're like $8, $9, something like that for a pack of cigarettes.
I don't know. I haven't bought cigarettes forever.
Well, I haven't either, but I do go into stores sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I know that when I stopped smoking, this is how old I am, you could buy a tobacco farm for $8.
Well, when I stopped smoking, they were about six something a pack. So yeah. that was a while ago, like 7 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah. I think when I quit smoking, they were under $2.
Wow.
A pack. Yeah, like $1.70 or something like that. So
why were we telling each other that we were going to start smoking recently? Something came up.
Oh, we were watching a how much does it cost in Malaysia video.
That's right.
You know, because we were future expats. We plan to travel the world. We want to live in Ecuador, but we want to travel all over the place. And so we watch these cost of living videos on YouTube. Well, I do. Cats in the room. And this one in Malaysia, and they said they were going through the expenses, you know, to rent an apartment. You can get one for, you know, a nice one for $400 US a month. Gas is really cheap. And cigarettes for a pack of Marlboro Reds is $1.70. I looked at you and I said, geez, we can't move there. I'd start smoking again.
Yeah. It would be irresponsible for us not to.
Because $1.70 a pack.
Though it has been a long time since I quit smoking, and I cannot smoke again because my quitting was a Christmas gift to my sister.
Yes.
And that's something that I just can't. What are you doing?
What's Haggis doing?
Haggis.
See, these are parts, these are the types of parts that get edited out of the regular podcast.
Come around. Are you stuck?
But you're friends. It's like we don't bother putting on pants when you're here. Come on, buddy.
Stuck behind Peter. Oh, you're stuck.
Anyway, we appreciate you joining us for this stream of consciousness babbling.
Oh, yeah. Were we going to talk about something?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, dang. Mm-hmm.
We think of you guys as friends, and if you were ever to come to our house for tasty craft beers, these are the kind of conversations that we usually have.
Yeah. Generally, we just rattle off stories about ourselves and then ask you to leave.
Yeah. And then we ask you to pay for the beer.
That's not true.
Because all of our money goes to refried beans.
No, if you came to visit us, I would make you the nicest frittata and provide you with a delicious mimosa, half orange juice, half cranberry.
We had that on, was it Thanksgiving?
I think it was New Year's.
New Year's. You made frittata and we had mimosas. That was lovely.
That was a nice
That's
time.
A step up from a can of refried beans, sweetie.
Yeah. I love eating.
That's the end of that sentence. I do too. Thanks for hanging out with us, you guys.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And can I use your phone for a second?
Yeah. You got to look up a words of wisdom.
No, end. These come from my heart.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And remember, folks, believe and act as if it were impossible to fail.
That's the dumbest one yet.
No! It's so worthless words.
And so, let it be known that the Box of Oddities belongs to you, and its fate is in your hands. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com on Facebook at Facebook.com/Box of Oddities Podcast, on Twitter at Box of Oddities, and Instagram at Box of Oddities Podcast. Copyright 2021, all rights reserved.